So today marks a day where we start the series on quiet, and we'll do this for 3 weeks, and we'll kind of move from the more like why questions to the more practical as the series moves on. And just as we kick it off, I want to just invite you with me to enter silence for just about 15 seconds, and then I'll just start writing to our teaching time. So just allow yourself to hear and settle in to the quiet around you. In his late 20s, already a successful journalist, Pico Iyer became dissatisfied. He sensed that something was not quite right within him. He had a life that many of us could only hope for. He lived in the busy but exciting city of New York. He had a small apartment on Lower Manhattan, an elegant car, connections to people and exciting people, interesting people, doing things in our culture and in our world. He had what you would think every one of us would want. But in an interview with Krista Tippett, he talks about his growing sense that even though his outward world was growing and flourishing everywhere, his inner world was being suffocated, neglected. He writes and speaks across the world now about this sense of inner world, this sense of heart. He's been privileged to have the best education in America, Ivy League institutions, and he talks about his wanting to learn from his heart, to learn that inner world, that inner perspective, and that being the starting point for an outer world. And in this interview and in his books, he talks about living in an on-demand culture, in a culture where we are instantly accessible through Twitter and through Facebook and through other social medias, and the constant ping of our emails. And he talks about that in the history of the world, there's never been a culture that is more connected than ours. We are connected across the world, he says, but we're not connected to ourselves. And so he does something incredible, something remarkable. He moves his family to Japan, where he lives in a small studio flat, and decided to live in a town that was sort of disconnected from our world. He still is connected, he still writes, but this was his way of reacting to this on-demand culture. It was his call to us is to cultivate quiet hearts, to learn again what this inner world might mean for all our outer activity. And quiet, it's not just about the stillness and the quiet in a room, although that's part of it. Quiet is this way of life, this mentality, this way of sort of pulling back and being able to reflect on, to think about the way our bodies are acting. So quiet for us in the next few weeks is this call to recognize the stillness, this call to think deeper, to maybe cut away some of the unessential things we do, this quiet that we all seem to crave in this modern world. I was thinking about it this way, that is fascinating that every one of us here has within our pockets a smartphone that can connect to the deepest places in our world. We can get Twitter feeds on what's going on in Ferguson or our favorite sports event. We can actually text our donations to the tragedies in Nepal, which is quite remarkable and amazing. But at the same time of all this innovation and all this remarkable advances, we have not mastered the art of quiet, the art of our deepest connections with each other. There is still this unsteadiness, this uneasiness in connecting with our friends and our families and our neighbors. So while our connection is broad and global, inwardly there's a deep disconnection within our own souls and with others. I thought about it this week, and I thought about saying it this way. If we choose to let quietness shape our hearts, then we can learn to find meaning in our busy lives. But if we get absorbed by busyness, then our hearts will always be unquiet. There's this irony, this paradox in what it means to be Christian and what it means to live in the modern world, that we're not saying you can't have an outer life. We don't have that option. Many of us don't, like Pico Ayer, are able to live in Japan, no matter how that might seem romantic and awesome. Most of us have to live in this moment, in this culture, and find our way in the world and sort of remind ourselves that it's in cultivating this art of quiet and then allowing that to flow into an outward, busy, and active, and meaningful life. So if we choose to let quietness shape our hearts, then we can learn to find meaning in our busy lives. But if we get absorbed by the busyness, then our hearts will always be unquiet. But it's difficult, isn't it? In this world where it's constantly coming at us. Our emails ping late into the night with our bosses, with more demands, more expectations, more responsibilities. So never in the history of the world is there a more pressing imperative for us to grow the art of quiet within us. Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft and chief nerd to the entire world, he did something really remarkable, really countercultural in 1980s. He did something that no one had done to this point in time in the business world, and he called it a think week. He takes 2 weeks, one in the spring and one in the fall, at the busiest time in Microsoft's sort of calendar year, and he gets away. He gets out of the corporate office. He goes to a small cabin alone by himself to think, to be quiet, to read journal articles on where technology is heading. And this practice he's kept up for over 35 years, a think week. A time to quiet yourself and to let that quiet of your heart determine the actions outwardly that you will take for the next month, for the next years. Jesus, amazingly in the history of the world, talks about the art of quiet and invites us to this stillness, invites us to this refreshing rest. And so even though we have incredible technological advances in all ways, we still are in deep need of our religious traditions that teach us how to be quiet, how to be still. And so Jesus says in this incredible passage, right in the middle of the Gospel of Matthew, he says to this, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find the rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the only gospel that teaches us these words of Jesus. This is a beautiful invitation to this art of quiet, to this quietness within us that allows us to act with great essentialness, with great purpose and intention into our world. So how many of us feel absolutely tired, absolutely worn down by all those responsibilities, by everything we do? Jonah, thanks for raising your hand, man. That was awesome. And how many of us have sensed that deep within us that not just vacation tired, but that deep soul tired by the strains of this modern life? I find it fascinating that the Silicon Valley, where Apple is and where these all the technological innovations are happening, many writers are writing there about what it means to take what they're calling a technological Sabbath. And so these are the nerds of the world that are teaching us what the future of the world's gonna be like. And they're writing blogs about they shut down their phones and they put away their laptops. So there's never been more of a need in our world for the art of quiet. So Jesus says to us this incredible movement of, I know what it means to be human, and Jesus invites us to come, to simply be. Because we live in a world that is all about producing. This consumption and this production, our worth is in our value to produce, and Jesus invites us to come and be, to come and find the art of quiet. It says that all you are weary and carrying these heavy burdens. And then here comes the promise in the passage. I will give you rest. And the Greek word here is anapao. And this word literally isn't rest. It's a verb that means to literally refresh you. And it's ongoing, refreshing after refreshing after refreshing. And the only thing I can relate this to is I went to Zimbabwe a few years back, and I got to take this little van to Victoria Falls. And if you know Victoria Falls, it's 150, 200 feet of just pure falls. It's remarkable. It's incredible. And I remember standing on a rock, and the falls are so powerful that you literally get drenched by the mist if you're 50, 100, even 150 feet away on the shore. And I remember getting on a rock as close as I could to that edge and just being absolutely drenched by this incredible fall. The verse is telling us that Jesus is the one that promises to give us that inner refreshment over and over, that in Jesus we are called to be, not to merely do. And then this language of take my yoke upon you and learn from me, a yoke in the Jewish tradition was always sort of a symbol for slavery and servitude. Of course, you would plow your gardens with putting a yoke on an oxen so that you could, but this sense of slavery, this sense of servitude, this sense that you are being driven by someone else, and the play works like this: take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. This Jesus is putting for us this alternative. This yoke and this burden is not like the world's yoke. It's not like this American life of on demand. This is the invitation to simply be. And this is a God who is gentle and humble in heart, who doesn't guilt us or shame us, but allows us to come into this presence and be. And this is like the fundamental mystery of what it means to be human and what it means to be Christian, that this is a God who invites us into these refreshing waters surging within us. And this is what our earliest Christian relatives were just so jazzed about. They talk all the time that this is the one who knows us most intimately. That's the whole point of Jesus coming in the flesh, that Jesus became what we are so we could share in his life. So this God of gentleness and humility, who literally refreshes our souls from within and then promises us this rest for our souls. And interestingly enough, this Greek verb above rest and this Greek noun below, so it's this play. This is the Jesus who refreshes you, verb, and this is the Jesus in whom you find refreshment, noun. So it's this beautiful play that this is the one who knows all our life from beginning to the end and wants to replenish our very beings. And then it says, just making it clear, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Meaning for us, I think that even if you fail and don't live this life of quietness, because all of us are there. None of us are sort of like these perfect, I wish we could all be like the Dalai Lama, the peaceful, you know, but all of us go in and out of living out of this art of quiet and then back into this world of busyness. And sometimes we really succeed and we really gain momentum, but other times it's like, oh man, epic fail on that one. And Jesus is reminding us that this is a yoke that invites you to come again and again and again. This isn't about sort of some type of mastery that we get all at once. This is a lifetime of learning that. I wonder if you've ever been around someone. I was around this grandpa figure, and he had just cultivated the art of quiet like his whole life. And when you're in the presence of someone like that, it's like everything in the room calms down. And there's a sense of like, oh my gosh, this person has been weathered. This person has experienced life as quiet and still, and you find that your own being gets quiet and still, and it's remarkable. So this refreshness, this pours within us, this art of quiet, I think it does several things to us. And I think that the art of quiet gives us full life. So what I most wanna say is that that quiet is better than busy, and that quiet leads to fuller life. In a world that tells us to do, being and learning this art of quiet is far more refreshing. So it turns out that caring for yourself and cultivating this art of quiet does more good for the world than anything you can imagine. Because quietness refreshes your vision. You begin to see things in new ways and in fresh ways. You don't miss the little good stuff. Like when your son or when your daughter leaves you little I love you notes, or like when you notice them growing in certain ways, or you notice your next door neighbor is like kicking the lawnmower and you can go over there and help him or her out. Quietness gives us new eyes to see, new spiritual eyes to see the depth of this world. And quietness refreshes our identity. It's in this quietness that I most feel like all those nagging insecurities, all those inadequacies, all those ego stuff that we like carry in our being, this weight, we find the voice of love in quiet. The voice that we are beloved. The voice that nothing else matters, that we ourselves are enough in this moment, at this time. There's nothing more we need to add. We find in quietness that it refreshes our joy when we are sort of naggingly wanting more, hungering after more happiness. We find that in the worst cases, this quietness, there's something that happens there that bubbles up within us, this sense of joy. It's contagious and it's beautiful, and it doesn't mean that we've got everything figured out, but there's a joy in the midst of it all. And quietness refreshes your purpose. All of us, we believe here, are just have this possibility and potential surging within us. And only in quietness can we sort of strip away all that's unessential and remind ourselves of that core calling, of that core purpose, of that business that we're leading, that managing these people, being that mom or that dad. This quietness is the sense grounding and rooting power for all the purposes and intention of our life. And then quietness refreshes your love for others. It's quite phenomenal to me that caring for your heart, caring for the inner world, actually transforms the world. And so it's amazing because sometimes we get this all wrong. We think only through service, only through giving ourselves, can we truly be whole. But when you cultivate the art of quiet, that's when your service is the most whole. That's when you can give yourself to your family and to your neighbors and to your coworkers in the fullest, most robust sense. And so Pico Iyer, living in Japan, reminds us, challenges us, something like this he's trying to say to us. If we choose to let quietness shape our hearts, then we learn to find meaning in our busy lives. But if we get absorbed by busyness, then our hearts will always be unquiet. So he writes in this book that he just published called The Art of Stillness. He comes to the very end of the book and Pico says this: "In an age of speed, I began to think nothing could be more invigorating than going slow. In an age of distraction, nothing can feel more luxurious than paying attention. And in an age of constant movement, nothing is more urgent than sitting still. You can go on vacation to Paris or Hawaii or New Orleans 3 months from now and you'll have a tremendous time, I'm sure. But if you want to come back feeling new, alive and full of fresh hope and in love with the world, I think the place to visit may be nowhere." So Pico uses this new word he's invented, he capitalizes it. The place of nowhere is the art of quiet. The place of nowhere is just reminding you that the grass is never greener on the other side. There's never a better moment to cultivate within you the art of quiet. And so for the next 3 weeks as we journey with one another, we're gonna talk more about cultivating the heart of quiet. But I wanna invite you now, knowing that there's never a better place to start than right now, to just join me in 30 seconds of silence and allow the overtures of this God of love to flood and fill our hearts. And then I'll say a prayer and we'll move on. God, I thank you that you are the one who refreshes our hearts. God, I thank you that every time we start to cultivate the art of quiet and fail, that you tell us just to come again and again and again. And God, I pray that this month journey with one another as a community, that we will have some victory, that we will find a deeper joy, a deeper purpose, that we will literally embrace the refreshing power of your love and your life surging through us. I ask you, God, to encourage us when we're down. I ask you to go with us today. Help us to find those little quiet moments. And God, you see all of our hearts. Cultivate within us the art of quiet. Amen.